You're listening to Rowan Radio On Demand. Download more podcasts at rowanradio.com.
The following program does not represent the views or opinions of the staff or administration of Rowan University or Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM.
Rowan Radio, 89.7 WGLS-FM proudly presents The Rowan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. And now, the Rowan Radio News Team.
Good morning and welcome to the Rowan Report here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS-FM. I'm Allie Bruce with the Rowan Radio News Team. Some of this week's headlines include former Hunter Biden business partner Tony Bobulinski testified in front of a House Oversight Committee, Russia bombed Kiev after 44 days, and one of New York City Mayor Eric Adams' top officials is facing sexual harassment allegations. Here's your national news recap for the week of March 17th. The House Oversight Committee held a hearing amid the Republican-led impeachment inquiry into President Biden, with testimony from Hunter Biden's former associates, Tony Bobulinski and Jason Galanis, as well as testimony from Lev Parnas, former associate of Rudy Giuliani. Mr. Bobulinski and Mr. Galanis spoke about Joe Biden's alleged connection to Chinese and Russian business dealings and influence peddling, with Bobulinski saying that Biden was an active, aware enabler who met with business associates such as myself in 2017. Parnas testified he was tasked by Rudy Giuliani, who was working on behalf of then-President Donald Trump, to find damaging information on Joe Biden in order to spread misinformation about him and thereby help Trump's chances of winning the 2020 presidential election. An immigrant riot is taking place in El Paso, Texas. Reports say the Texas National Guard was overwhelmed by illegal immigrants looking to storm border barriers Thursday. Video shows dozens of migrants fighting with soldiers. The incident comes as border states struggle with the ongoing immigrant crisis. The U.S. is pushing for a ceasefire agreement in the Israel-Hamas war. While speaking from Cairo, Egypt, Thursday, Secretary of State Antony Blinken told reporters a proposal for the ceasefire with the release of hostages held by Hamas is on the table. He added that Hamas has responded to that deal and gaps in negotiations are narrowing. The plan includes surging humanitarian aid into Gaza, which is experiencing acute levels of food insecurity. The House is set to vote on a government spending package Friday to avoid a government shutdown. House Democratic leader Hakeem Jeffries told reporters he expects a substantial majority of Democrats to vote in favor of the bill. Most Republicans are expected to back the legislation as well, despite a group of conservative members who want to roll back spending. The Senate is expected to pass the legislation before the Friday night deadline. The deal would fund the government through the end of the fiscal year. It looks like New York Attorney General Letitia James is preparing to seize former President Trump's Westchester County properties. This as Trump faces a Monday deadline to pay his $464 million bond in his civil fraud case. Records show that James has formally registered judgments against Trump, the Trump Organization, and his two older sons in Westchester County, which signals Trump National Golf Club and Seven Springs Estate may be at risk of being seized. Trump's lawyer says they can't find an underwriter willing to take on the entire amount. The Justice Department is suing tech giant Apple for allegedly violating antitrust laws. The lawsuit, filed along with 16 state and district attorneys general, claims Apple has monopolized the smartphone market by blocking competitors from accessing hardware and software features on the iPhone. Attorney General Merrick Garland said if left unchallenged, Apple will only continue to strengthen its smartphone monopoly. Apple pushed back in a statement claiming the lawsuit is wrong on the facts and the law. The DOJ also alleges Apple deliberately made the quality of cross-platform messaging worse to incentivize users of other smartphones like Android to switch to iPhone. Lakin Riley's father is calling on Georgia government officials to declare an invasion to detain and deport criminal illegals in an effort to protect Americans. Jason Riley's daughter was a nursing student killed by an illegal immigrant while jogging last month. He appeared before the Georgia State Senate and made his plea to Governor Brian Kemp. Venezuelan migrant Jose Antonio Ibarra, who entered the U.S. illegally 2 years prior, is accused of abducting and killing Lakin near the University of Georgia in Athens. He is not alone, as Thursday Republicans pressed the Senate to pass the Lakin-Riley Act. Senator Ted Cruz of Texas, along with others in the GOP, support legislation that would require federal immigration officials to arrest, detain, and deport illegal immigrants who commit burglary or theft. It easily passed in the House with bipartisan support, but Democrats control the Senate where it has stalled out. House Speaker Mike Johnson plans to invite Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu to address Congress. Johnson told CNBC's Squawk Box Thursday he would love for the Prime Minister to address a joint sessions of Congress and will extend the invitation. The move comes amid fallout from Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer's speech criticizing the Israeli leader's handling of the war in Gaza and calling for new elections in Israel. Schumer, in a statement, said he would always welcome the opportunity for Netanyahu to speak to Congress in a bipartisan way. Everything is back to normal after a fighter jet was called in during President Biden's trip to Phoenix. NORAD says an F-15 jet was scrambled to the area after picking up a track of interest Wednesday morning. The group told the Arizona Republic the possible threat wasn't in communication with air traffic control while a temporary flight restriction was in place. However, NORAD noted there may not be anything to look into because nothing could be found. Officials also explained to the newspaper that the alert was sent out to the public because of how low the F-15 was flying. A third man is being charged with second-degree murder in connection to the Kansas City Super Bowl rally shooting. Terry Young was also charged with two counts of armed criminal action and unlawful use of a weapon for the incident that killed a woman and injured 23 others. The 20-year-old's charges follow two others, Lindell Mays and Dominic Miller, who were charged with second-degree murder and multiple weapons counts. I'm Allie Bruce, and that was your national news.
I'm Sam DeJugis with your international news. Russia staged its largest missile attack in weeks on Kiev and the surrounding region on Thursday. At least 17 people were injured. Kiev city officials said that several kindergartens and schools, residential buildings, and industrial sites were damaged by debris from downed Russian missiles across the city. This attack comes after a 44-day pause in attacks on Kiev, the Ukrainian capital. Last week, Russian President Vladimir Putin accused Kiev of launching attacks to disrupt the Russian presidential election. The Kremlin leader said that Ukraine would be punished for that. Kiev was under an air raid alert for nearly 3 hours on Thursday morning. The Ukrainian military has said Russia launched over 8,000 missiles on Ukraine in the first 2 years of the war. India's financial crime agency arrested Arvind Kejriwal, the chief minister of Delhi, on Thursday in connection with graft allegations relating to the city's liquor policy. The arrest means the main leaders of the decade-old Aam Aadmi Party, shortened to AAP, are in jail, following the arrest last year of two of Kejriwal's deputies in the same case. Kejriwal rose to power as an anti-corruption crusader and founded the AAP in 2011. Supporters protesting his arrest clashed with security forces outside his residence when the news broke. The AAP has said no evidence of wrongdoing has emerged in the investigation of the liquor policy implemented by Delhi's government in 2022. Local media reported that Kejriwal will be presented before a court on Friday, where the charges against him will be made public. Australia will begin enforcing tougher visa rules for foreign students this week, as official data showed migration hit another record high. Beginning Saturday, English language requirements for student and graduate visas will be increased, while the government will get the power to suspend education providers from recruiting international students if they repeatedly break rules. A new genuine student test will also be introduced to further crack down on international students who go to Australia primarily to work. These moves follow policies from December aimed to close off COVID-era concessions introduced by the former government. Australia boosted its annual migration numbers in 2022 to help businesses recruit staff to fill shortages after the pandemic brought strict border control and kept foreign students and workers out for nearly 2 years. Officials hope these new measures will help in releasing pressure in the country's tight rental market. In Gaza this week, Israel's offensive focused on Al-Shifa Hospital for a fourth day. Ceasefire talks also resumed in Qatar this week, centered on a truce of around 6 weeks that would allow the release of 40 Israeli hostages in return for hundreds of Palestinians detained in Israeli jails. Vietnam's legislature appointed Vice President Vo Thi Anh Xuan as acting head of state this week, after President Vo Van Thuong became the latest top official to fall amid an intensified corruption crackdown by the ruling Communist Party. Thuong was removed from the powerful Politburo for unspecified violations of party rules, becoming the second president to exit in just over a year in Vietnam. Xuan is just one of a few women in senior positions in Vietnamese politics and will now step in as president for the second time in just over a year. Xuan filled in the void in the 6 weeks after Nguyen Xuan Phuc stepped down as president last year for violations and wrongdoing by officials under his control. The legislature could announce a new president when it holds its next regular plenary session in May, or earlier if a special meeting is convened. Ireland's Prime Minister Leo Varadkar announced on Wednesday that he was stepping down, saying the country's coalition government would stand a better chance of re-election under another leader. Varadkar's Fine Gael party opened nominations for a new leader on Thursday, with the results set to be announced on April 5th. Parliament will vote on the person succeeding Varadkar as Prime Minister after it returns from Easter recess on April 9th. Currently in the lead to succeed Varadkar is 37-year-old Simon Harris. The politician is best known for helping steer the country's response to COVID-19, and is currently the only candidate in the race. If he succeeds, he will become Ireland's youngest prime minister. He will also be faced with just 12 months to try to gain back the wide opinion poll deficit that both the Fine Gael and their largest coalition partner, Fianna Fáil, have to the main opposition Sinn Féin party, the former political wing of the Irish Republican Army. Polls suggest the current three-party coalition also stands a chance of being re-elected, though Fine Gael will have to do without around one-third of its sitting lawmakers, who have said they will not seek re-election. Mexico's Foreign Minister Alicia Bárcena announced on Thursday that the country has signed an agreement with Venezuela to deport migrants and reach deals with Mexican and Venezuelan companies to employ them. Venezuelans have been among the largest groups of migrants arriving in Mexico on their way to the United States, according to Reuters, as they seek to flee their country's political and economic crisis. There are 4,000 to 5,000 Venezuelan migrants currently stranded in Mexico, mostly in the city of Tijuana. The Mexican government said it will give migrants in the country around $110 a month, part of a program in which they will also have the opportunity to work for different companies in both countries. Venezuelan brewers Empresas Polar, state oil firm PDVSA, and retailer FEMSA are among the companies participating in the program. A majority of French senators voted against the ratification of a free trade deal between the European Union and Canada, known as CETA. A majority of 211 senators opposed the ratification, while 44 voted in favor. Free trade deals have become the target of fierce criticism since Europe-wide farmer protests highlighted what they called unfair competition from abroad. French farmers who have pressured the government to obtain more aid were spearheading the fight against international free trade deals and CETA in particular, claiming it favors Canadian rivals whose environmental standards are looser. The rejection by the Senate means the bill needs to go back to France's lower house of parliament, the National Assembly. I'm Sam DeJugis, and that has been your international news.
I'm Riley Adams with your local news. One of New York City Mayor Eric Adams' top advisors is accused of sexual harassment just days after the mayor faced allegations of his own. Recently retired NYPD Sergeant Roxanne Ludman has filed a lawsuit against Timothy Pearson, alleging he touched her inappropriately nearly two dozen times, asked her about her marital status, and facilitated uncomfortable conversation. Ludman, who was with the department for 32 years, says she was encouraged to file the lawsuit after her boss witnessed Pearson rubbing her arm at an office party in December of 2022, alleging he even blocked her promotion. It comes as Mayor Adams denies Lorna Beach Mathura's allegations that the mayor tried to get her to perform a sex act on him in 1993. Governor Phil Murphy has signed legislation he says will help jumpstart construction of affordable housing across New Jersey. The bill had passed the Democratic-controlled state legislature only two days before. It will standardize obligations for towns in New Jersey to build more housing units. It will also help protect communities from lawsuits aimed at blocking construction of affordable housing projects. It will also offer incentives for developers to build housing units near grocery stores and transit route. Early voting for New York's April 2nd presidential primary begins March 23rd. New York Attorney General Letitia James announced the state's election protection hotline is available for anyone who may have any questions or voting issues. Voters can call 866-390-2992 for assistance with an array of topics, including absentee ballot questions, in-person polling, early mail, and registration. By law, all New Yorkers are protected from voter intimidation, deception, suppression, and obstruction, and James noted the hotline is there to help no matter how someone chooses to cast their ballot. Attorneys for the wife of Senator Bob Menendez will remain on the case, despite a possible conflict of interest. Nadine Menendez and her attorneys appeared in federal court in Newark Thursday morning at a hearing requested by the federal government. Federal authorities say Ms. Menendez's attorneys gave them statements about money used to pay for Mercedes-Benz that's evidence in the bribery charges she and her husband are facing. But last month, a co-defendant in the case, Jose Arribe, pleaded guilty and told authorities he paid for the Mercedes. Nadine told the judge she'll keep the attorneys and the trial will move forward to May 6th. New Jersey Attorney General Matthew Platick is launching a public awareness campaign for responsible gambling. The announcement comes during Problem Gambling Awareness Month, which is aimed at increasing public awareness of problem gambling and the availability of prevention, treatment, and recovery services. Platick says the resources available will help people identify when gambling activities become addicting despite an increasing toll on finances, health, employment, and personal relationships. Governor Phil Murphy is announcing this summer's Atlantic City Air Show will take flight through local partnership. The governor announcing Wednesday a partnership between the South Jersey Transportation Authority and Atlantic City International Airport. As part of the agreement, the SJTA will provide upwards of $300,000 for the air show and even participate as a sponsor. Officials estimate the two-day event produces nearly $70 million in economic activity. An iconic naval ship is leaving its longtime home dock in Camden, New Jersey. The Battleship New Jersey is a museum and memorial to honor sailors who served on the ship from 1938 until 1991. It left the dock Thursday morning for the first time in decades and will be at the Philadelphia Naval Yard to get maintenance work to preserve the ship. It's the most decorated battleship in U.S. naval history. Officials think it'll be back to its Camden home by early June for tours. Changes are coming that will impact flights through Newark. The FAA says starting in June, control of Newark airspace will shift from New York to Philadelphia. According to the FAA, this will improve staffing and help meet the increase in traffic demand in the busy Northeast Corridor. The New York controllers currently oversee air traffic from Newark, Kennedy, LaGuardia, Teterboro, and MacArthur airports. Criminal charges will be filed against the man shot by his own gun on Brooklyn subway train last week. The 36-year-old faces weapons possession charges if he survives, according to ABC7, which reports he remains in critical condition but stable. Police say he pulled out a gun on an A train after instigating a fight with a 32-year-old man who disarmed him and shot him in the head. Meanwhile, the younger man won't face charges due to evidence of self-defense, and police continue to search for a woman who is with him who goes by the name Unique. I'm Riley Adams, and that was your local news.
I'm Aiden Dougherty with your Rowan News. Stephen A. Smith spoke at the Flieger Concert Hall at Rowan University on Wednesday night. Stephen A. Smith is a featured commentator and executive producer on ESPN's First Take weekdays from 10 a.m. to 12 p.m. Eastern Time, discussing and debating sports topics of the day since 2012. He is also an analyst on NBA Countdown, ESPN, and ABC's longstanding NBA pregame show. WGLS sports director Jack Miller caught up with him and asked how he would attack his career if he started in 2024.
Wow, that's a good question. I've never been asked that before. I think that I don't think that I would start it off any differently. I think that starting off my career writing and being a newspaper person was one of the best things that happened to me. It didn't feel that way at the time. It's a lot of hard work again, but the tenets that you pick up and you learn and that comes with the profession is what you ultimately hold on to. There are certain things that innately, when you look at today's world, the advent of social media, podcasting, the things that go on, there's this temptation to be about you, to be about doing things the way that you want to do it and operating with minimal rules. For me personally, because of how I grew up in this industry, I understand there are certain steps that you're supposed to take. There's a certain mindset that you're supposed to have.
Stephen A. Smith then took the stage in front of a sellout 800-plus capacity crowd. The event was open to students, faculty, staff, and community members. Stephen A. Smith gave out 250 free copies to the first sports communication and media students that attended the event. His book titled Straight Shooter, a memoir of second chances and first takes, a biography of his personal and professional life. The book was a New York Times bestseller. The two-hour event was a huge success. I'm Aiden Dougherty, and that was your Rowan News.
That does it for the first half of the Rowan Report, wrapping up this week's national, international, and local news. We are going to take a quick break. Up next, we have your weekly sports, business, and entertainment news. Stay tuned right here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM. Welcome back to the Rowan Report. I'm Allie Bruce, along with the Rowan Radio News team.
I'm Jack Miller for the Rowan Report with your news from the professional sports world. Four profs on Monday were announced as NJAC Players or Rookies of the Week, three from track and field and one from the diamond. Izzy Deal, Kat Peterson, and Maya Walker swept the women's outdoor track and field honors, with Deal selected as NJAC Field Athlete of the Week, Peterson as NJAC Track Athlete of the Week, and Walker as NJAC Rookie of the Week. For the baseball team, Joey Bogart was named NJAC Baseball Rookie of the Week for leading the team in batting average at .444 through five games as number 10 Rowan starting shortstop down in their Florida trip. He totaled 3 runs, 8 RBIs, 3 doubles, and 2 home runs. The 9-2 prof's first game in Glassboro will be tomorrow against Newman after a quick stop to Haverford this afternoon. Their home opener will be broadcasted live tomorrow with first pitch at 3:30, so be sure to tune in here on Rowan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM. Sticking with baseball, the Major League Baseball regular season started on Wednesday morning with the MLB World Tour Soul Series with the Los Angeles Dodgers traveling across the Pacific Ocean to face their NL West rival of the San Diego Padres. Game 1 was won by the Dodgers 5-2 after a low-scoring 2-1 pitcher's duel between starters Tyler Glasnow and Yu Darvish. In the 8th inning, the Dodgers tacked on 4 runs to take the lead due to a Jake Cronenworth error at first base for San Diego that went through the webbing of Cronenworth's glove. In Game 2 on Thursday, newly signed Dodgers starting pitcher from Japan Yoshinobu Yamamoto got rocked in his first career MLB start start as he gave up 5 earned runs in his one and only inning of work. The first home run of the season was hit in the second game by Mookie Betts in the 5th inning, and the Dodgers kept it close with San Diego. But the Padres topped off the 15-11 win with a 3-run homer in the 9th inning by their star third baseman Manny Machado. Shohei Ohtani in his first games as a Dodger went 3-for-10 with 2 RBIs in the 2-game set, but has been in the news for something else. The Dodgers interpreter for Ohtani was fired on Wednesday after questions surrounding at least $4.5 million in wire transfers sent from Shohei's bank account to a bookmarking operation set off a series of events. The translator collected the gambling debts to a Southern California bookmaking operation that is now under federal investigation. Since all the payments came out of Ohtani's account, the media believes that the two-way superstar had something to do with the gambling money, and they put the blame on his translator instead. Shohei's representatives contacted law enforcement to investigate the situation. Sticking with the NL West, Blake Snell has officially signed with the San Francisco Giants for 2 years, $66 million, after winning the Cy Young Award last year with the Padres. He will join 2023 Cy Young finalist Logan Webb, and San Francisco will now have a new two-headed monster at the bay. Again, I'm Jack Miller for the Roan Report with your news from the professional sports world.
I'm Megan Steckler with your Roan Report business update. Wall Street is closing with stocks higher. This comes after a winning day on Wednesday. Stocks have been boosted thanks to the Federal Reserve, indicating Wednesday 3 rate cuts are still likely to come later this year. At the closing bell, the Dow Jones Industrial Average gained 269 points to 39,781, the S&P 500 rose by 16 points to 52-41, and the NASDAQ gained 32 points to 16-401. Nestle is recalling over 440,000 Starbucks mugs. According to the U.S. Consumer Product Safety Commission, the mugs can overheat and break, causing burns and other injuries. The recall is for metallic mugs that were sold as part of the 2023 holiday Starbucks-branded gift sets at Walmart, Target, and military retail outlets. The mugs were manufactured by Nestle USA. There have been a dozen reports of the mugs breaking or overheating and causing 10 injuries, including blisters and severe burns. Home sales in the U.S. rose to the highest level in a year in February. Lisa Taylor has more.
That comes despite surging mortgage rates. The National Association of Realtors reports existing home sales went up nearly 10% in February from the previous month. That's the second straight month of an increase in sales. It's a sign sales are rebounding after dropping in the fall as mortgage rates soared. I'm Lisa Taylor.
Apple is being sued for alleged antitrust law violations. The lawsuit filed by the Department of Justice, along with 16 state and district attorney generals, claims Apple has monopolized the smartphone market by blocking competitors from accessing hardware and software features of the iPhone. Attorney General Merrick Garland said if left unchallenged, Apple will only continue to strengthen its smartphone monopoly. Apple pushed back in a statement claiming the lawsuit is wrong for the facts and the law. The DOJ also alleges Apple deliberately made the quality of cross-platform messaging worse to incentivize users of other smartphones, like Android, to switch to iPhone. I'm Megan Steckler, and this has been your Business News Report.
I'm Elle Lawton, and this is your entertainment news. Megan Fox and Machine Gun Kelly are reportedly living separately after speculation that their engagement is over. According to Us Weekly, an insider claims that Fox and MGK are living apart as they work on their rocky romance. Fox is reportedly living in Malibu, while MGK is still at their Los Angeles area mansion. The couple began dating back in 2020 and got engaged in 2022, but sparked breakup rumors in February 2023 after Fox deleted photos of the pair and shared cryptic song lyrics about dishonesty per Page Six. The Young Thug and alleged YSL street gang trial continues in Georgia, and defense attorneys say if the case doesn't pick up speed, the trial could last until 2027. Prosecutors said they would call 400 witnesses and so far have gotten through 53. The trial has already faced a number of delays, including juror problems and time off. Only 45 days of actual proceedings have taken place. Prosecutors allege Young Thug and his YSL gang are responsible for a number of violent crimes in Atlanta. The trial is already the longest criminal trial in state history. A Netflix docuseries filmed in an Arkansas jail is facing possible legal problems. The series Unlocked, a jail experiment, was filmed last year at the Pulaski County Jail and is expected to be released on April 10th. However, local officials have raised concerns after viewing the trailer for the series. The docuseries follows inmates who are given more freedom than being stuck in jail. Local officials were unaware of the shooting in some cases and have raised concerns on the show's content. The Pulaski County Sheriff signed a location release to view and edit the show. A payment of $1,000 a day is being collected for shooting, which will be placed in the county general fund. A decision has not been made on whether to pursue legal action. Elton John and songwriting partner Bernie Taupin are the recipients of this year's Library of Congress's Gershwin Prize for Popular Song. The two were celebrated last night at a tribute concert in Washington, D.C. A veritable who's who of entertainers took to the stage to perform the duo's hits, including Garth Brooks, Annie Lennox, Metallica, Joni Mitchell, and more. The Gershwin Prize recognizes achievement in popular music by living artists. Past recipients have included Paul Simon, Stevie Wonder, Tony Bennett, and Willie Nelson. I'm Elle Lawton, and that was your entertainment news.
And that wraps up this week's edition of the Roan Report here on Roan Radio 89.7 WGLS FM. For the Roan Radio News Team, I'm Allie Bruce. Have a great day.
You've been listening to The Roan Report, a weekly news magazine that recaps local, national, and international news that affects you. Be sure to join us every Saturday morning at 9:30 for another edition of The Roan Report, exclusively here on Roan Radio, 89.7 WGLS FM.